Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So, yes, they're still at an impasse in Washington over the deficit and the debt ceiling, with 1 week to go before that deadline. And we'll get to the politics of it later in the show, if you can stand any more of that. But first, the federal government, state treasuries, and other countries are coming up with contingency plans in case the United States end up defaulting on its loans. So we thought you might be wondering if you need a contingency plan, too. We keep hearing from most politicians and analysts that if lawmakers in Washington don't raise the debt ceiling and the government defaults, there would be economic chaos. Right, John Boehner?
The United States cannot default on its debt obligations. The jobs and savings of too many Americans are at stake.
Interest rates would skyrocket on credit cards, on mortgages, and on car loans, which amounts to a huge tax hike on the American people.
Boehner and Obama on what they agreed about in their dueling speeches last night. This would be bad. So what exactly would it mean for you? And at what point do you need to start even moving your money around, if at all? Joining us to offer some advice about what to do with your money, just in case Washington is as dysfunctional as we fear, is Beth Kobliner, financial journalist, a member of the President's Advisory Council on Financial Capability, and the author, most famously, of Get a Financial Life, Personal Finance in Your 20s and 30s. And she's a regular on The Takeaway, as many of you know. Beth Kobliner, welcome back to WNYC.
Great to be here, Ryan.
And listeners, are you coming up with a contingency plan? Do you have personal finance questions for Beth Kobliner about the possibility of a government default and what it should mean for your money? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Call us up, or you can go to our comments page and post a question there, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, or use our social media, Twitter or Facebook. And the first thing to say, Beth, I guess, is that you are not advising that anyone panic.
Absolutely not. I mean, this is one of the times where stay the course, hold tight, all those theories make a lot of sense. We can't, first of all, we all know, academic studies show, you can't time the market. So you can't figure out what's going to happen next. So there's no bets to be made for the individual investor. But the bigger point is that it is a time to look at your portfolio and say, am I diversified, for example? Do I have a good balance of stocks and bonds and money funds relative to my outlook? But when it comes to issues like people are very nervous, and there have been a lot of inflammatory stories written about, oh, is this going to break the buck in the money market fund, which is something that people go to for safety. And the analysts I'm talking to are saying no. We're looking at, even in a default, the worst case scenario, they're talking about long-term debt. And most of the players here have said they're not going to go to a default, but we could see a downgrade, and that's something to consider.
And we'll talk about what a downgrade would mean. But before we dismiss the panic option here altogether, Simon Johnson, you know, frequent guest on this show, people who listen to public radio know his voice, the former chief economist at the International Money Fund, Monetary Fund, wrote a piece for Slate and said that a default would destroy the credit system as we know it, that no company would be unaffected, that there'd be a depression-style run on cash with very long lines at ATMs. Mm. Do you think that's all hyperbole from someone as respected an establishment as Simon Johnson?
I mean, I think he is super smart guy, but I think that it's really important for people to take a step back and say, if you have money in a bank, you know you're getting pitiful interest rates, you're getting less than 1%, but your money is safe there. You know it's protected under $250,000 by federal deposit insurance. Now, if we're going to play out the scenario in the worst case scenario doomsday, and they do defaults, I mean, even if we see a default, we're talking about a technical default, because it's not that we could never pay our bills. It's that there's a short-term solution that they're coming up with. In the meantime, I think it's very important for people not to panic. And frankly, Wall Street's been giving this a big yawn. You know, it hasn't been anticipating default. You know, the bond market hasn't reacted much to this whole debt ceiling countdown issue. So I think that individuals have to, you know, realize they're going to see some change in the personal finance. Their mortgage rates, if they're going to buy a home or mm-hmm. they want to buy a home, mm-hmm. they will see higher mortgage rates, most likely. If you have student loans and you have a lot of private student loans, which a lot of people have, you will see those rates go up. Although if you have Stafford student loans, which students, most students have, the federal student loan program, those are capped at 6.8%. You'll see if you want to buy a car, if you want to get a loan for a small business, those rates will likely go up, even if we don't default.
Now, let's be very clear about that. Under what scenario would those rates actually go up?
Well, if we default, which most people think we won't, they will go up. But even if we don't default, what we are seeing more likelihood of a downgrade. The U.S. going from AAA to AA or AAA to a temporary D, depending upon which rating agency you're looking at.
Even if they make a deal by next Tuesday?
Even if they make a deal by next Tuesday, because the rating agencies are looking and saying, look, what they're doing is indicating that there's a lot of, as President Obama said, dysfunction going on in the government. So what we're seeing is, if the U.S. is having trouble figuring out how to figure out its long-term economic outlook and how to, you know, bring down the debt and take care of it, that is something that the rating agencies are looking to.
So if they come up with the grand bargain that they talk about that Obama and Boehner have come close to a few times, this 10-year plan or even a several-year plan, then there's not likely to be a downgrade of the credit rating. But if they come up with the stopgap that they're also talking about and they would have to do the whole deadline dance again during the election next year.
Exactly. The rating agencies are looking for a sign that they're looking to solve this solution, sort of like the compromise idea that President Obama was talking about. But if they're not going to do something like that, it's going to be a short-term fix, then the rating agencies will, in all likelihood, go in and downgrade.
Beth Koebleiner, author of Get a Financial Life, with advice for you on how to anticipate the debt ceiling deadline with your money, should you do anything, should you move anything around, or whatever. Ellen in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, thanks a lot. I have a lot of money in Treasury bills. The interest is terrible, but I have always believed it was the safest thing that I could do. Should I do anything other than keep them there?
And right. I should say, this is the main reason we invited you in, Beth.
Right.
To answer this question. The rest is just window dressing.
Exactly. Treasury bills, because that's the idea. People who want to be safe go to Treasury bills, go to money market funds. And the answer is Treasury bills are very short term. And we're talking about the downgrade in long term, you know, 30 year, 20 year. However, my answer to you is you want to be diversified. You don't want to have all your money in Treasury bills. You want to have some sort of mix. I don't know what your age is or your particular situation, but somebody nearing retirement, of course, would be more likely to have some short term debts and some long term, you know, long term bonds. And if you have long term bonds, if there is a downgrade, there is going to be a hit to them. So I think the answer here is really diversity. It's something that you say all the time as a personal finance journalist, diversity, diversity, but now it really means something, particularly if there were a situation where people may not get their Social Security checks right away. We're really saying you have to pay attention to money, if you have some money, what money you do have.
But let's stay with this. Somebody can buy short-term treasuries, medium-term treasuries, or long-term treasuries, right?
Right.
So let's say, to take the scenario that you seem to be the most concerned about, that somebody has $100,000 in life savings in long-term treasury bonds or bills. How safe has that principal been before? What kind of interest are they getting as of this morning? And what could happen if there's either a default or a downgrade next week?
Right. Well, it depends upon when they got the Treasury bond and, you know, what the interest rate was. But basically, the whole scenario here is when a downgrade occurs, that means that the bonds are less attractive now. So they have to pay a higher interest rate to attract investors. So that means when interest rates go up on bonds, prices go down. So that means that the price of your bond is, it's worth less. And that's a bad thing for bonds. When interest rates go up, it's a bad thing for long-term bondholders who want to sell them. So that scenario, again, is one where you want to make sure you're diversified. So you have some stocks, some bonds, some money funds, some mix of long-term, short-term, medium-term. And you want to have stock mutual funds so that you know you're not just subject to the vagaries of that one long-term bond. But again, I want to stress that the stock market has not has not, you know, we know that the collective wisdom of the stock market is really what drives what's going on. And we're looking at the stock market giving this one a big yawn.
Because they think, okay, come on, let's get real here. After all the posturing and huffing and puffing, the United States government is not going to default on its debts.
Exactly.
Congress won't let it.
And I think it's sort of a scary scenario for people. We've taken we've passed this debt ceiling 74 times, right? Since it's been invented, since World War I, and 10 times in the last 10 years. So we're sort of, it's a bit of much ado about nothing when they're, you know, bringing this to the issue. The Tea Party people have forced the Republicans' hands. And there's all this debate going on now that I think has brought it to a real issue. You know,
and a lot of the Tea Party people say, hey, let the debt ceiling be violated.
Right.
That way we're going to, maybe there'll be some short-term pain, but we'll be forced into borrowing less money and spending less money. So if they're powerful enough in the Republican Party, it's not a zero chance.
Right. It's basically a pretty crazy argument from people who don't really understand the economy. And I think that it's a dangerous game they're playing. And pushing it to the last minute like this is, I think, unfair to the American public and for Main Street. You're talking about Wall Street sort of, being able to give it a yawn. But people are concerned. They're concerned about getting their Social Security checks and they're concerned about their money. And that's why they should realize, stay the course, but be smart, be diversified. Make sure you know what's in your 401k. Make sure you know what's in your, make sure you have under $250,000 in a bank savings account. That's always the big problem that everybody wishes they had.
Because up to that much money is insured.
Federally insured, exactly.
Now, what about some of the treasuries? Aren't some of the at least short-term Treasury funds actually insured up to the same amount?
Money market funds are, they're money market accounts in a bank account, which are federally insured. So if you get a money market account in a bank, that's federally insured up to $250,000.
But aren't there some short-term Treasury money market funds?
There's short-term money market funds that are not...
They're not Treasuries.
They're short-term money market funds that have 100% Treasuries, but those are not federally insured. But the whole question is, will they break the buck? In other words, when you get a money market fund, the idea is you put in a dollar and you keep that principal at a dollar. The concern is, will it go below a dollar, which has happened two times, once just a couple of years ago having to do with Lehman Brothers. But again, what they're talking about is even in a downgrade, they're talking about the long-term debt. But these money market funds are looking into what this will mean. And that's why I think diversity, even among money market funds, maybe the new thing we're saying here is, don't put all your money into money market funds. Spread it out a little bit. Be a little, as my mother says, use your judgment and be a little more reasonable. You don't have to be extreme. You want to be more diversified.
Right. So in this case, take more risks because that's considered the safest thing you could do.
To some extent, although it's interesting, in the whole theory, portfolio theory, they found that having a little bit of stocks, a little bit of bonds, a little bit of money market funds actually spreads out your risk for the same amount of return than putting it all into one place. Mm-hmm. Because remember, even with something that's considered super safe, you still have inflation risk. You have, interest rate risk. So that's why putting some money in the stock market, some in bonds, mixing it up is a smart thing to do.
Beth Kobliner, author of Get a Financial Life, talking about what to do with your money, anticipating the debt ceiling deadline and the possibility of default. Becky on Long Island, you're on WNYC. Hi.
I wanted to ask the question the other direction. If I wanted to gamble on the federal government coming up with a solution, is there a recommendation for investments that I can do over this week?
Which side do you want to gamble on, that they will come up with a solution?
I guess I'd ask the question in both directions. I'd be interested in hearing, if I wanted to invest this week, what the recommendations were, not to save what I have, but to risk what I have.
Okay, that's a great question, because we're going from defense, which we've been talking about the whole time, to offense.
Right, right.
If somebody wants to place a bet now, either way, that they're going to screw it up in Washington or that they're going to get the job done, how would you bet? What would you invest in today?
I would flip a coin. Who knows?
No, but either way, let's say you want to do one or the other. Where would you put your money today to maximize the take at the end of next week, depending on the outcome?
That's a question that it's hard for me to, I'm agnostic on this one. You know, how do you, first of all, I think it's really important for people to say, I think it's very tempting to look at this. You know, a lot of people are saying gold, go for gold, because gold is the place you go when everything is falling apart. Well, the problem is that's been built into the market already, and gold is at $1,600 an ounce, the highest it's ever been, and it's too late already. So anything, I'm afraid to say, that you're thinking about, ooh, this is a clever idea, Wall Street has already done, and it's built into the price. So I'm an efficient market theory person. I believe that there, to place a bet is a mistake, and you want to just, and the sort of, I don't know, rosy side of this may be that your savings account, if we're seeing interest rates go up, your money market fund interest will go up a little bit. So it won't go up a huge amount. But that's the thing that's been really killing retirees and people who are living off the income.
So ironically, if we're downgraded by a short-term solution,
yes,
and Moody's and S&P and whoever look and say, okay, well, no longer AAA, now AA, and interest rates go up a little bit, that could actually benefit senior citizens on fixed incomes.
To some extent, yes. And I would say I could make the clear case that you'd be better off in a money market fund than in a bank account, because banks, as we've all experienced, although they're very quick to raise the rates you pay on your mortgage or your credit card or your car loan, they're much slower to give you a higher rate on your bank savings
Funny,
account.
Funny, I've noticed that. There ought to be a law.
Yes.
Karen in Rochelle Park, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, yes. I am in the very beginnings of refinancing my mortgage, and I'm wondering, I haven't even finished the application yet, and I'm scared that the rates are going to go up for another 30-year mortgage.
Right. Well, you're right. I mean, I have to say, in probably no matter what scenario we're talking about, there's a likelihood to see rates go up. I usually don't like to bet on interest rates. I mean, nobody really knows. But I have to say, in this case scenario, if there's a default, rates will go up. If there's a downgrade, rates will go up. And if things move along, rates will probably go out. Because mortgage rates right now for 30-year fixed-rate mortgages are about 4.5. So my advice to you, Karen, would be if you could lock in as quickly as possible, it's probably a good idea to sort of push that, fill out that application quickly, go in there personally if it's a local lender, and try to move it along.
Tony in Santa Clara, you're on WNYC. Hello from New York, Tony.
Hi. First, I'd like to say something about asking my question is that federally insured is federally insured by the federal government, so if they default, you're not insured. But my question
Treasuries are insured? Is that what you said?
He makes an excellent point that treasuries are, they have the backing of the, I'm being technical. Bank accounts are federally insured, and treasuries have the full faith and credit of the United States government. Essentially, for a small investor, it feels like the same thing. Although right now, we're seeing the distinction that if the world blows apart, the federal deposit insurance won't be there either, because that money's coming from the treasury too.
But my question is, how do you buy treasury bonds but from the German government?
Should people do that?
Well, it's such a great question, because I think the answer is, surprisingly, the answer is yes, in that you should have some international exposure in your portfolio. And it's interesting. I was interviewing somebody from Financial Engines, which is one of those places where they look at your retirement accounts and tell you what you should invest in. And I remember interviewing that same group of people about 10 years ago. And at that time, they said, keep 10% of your portfolio, of your stock holdings in international stocks. And this time we were talking, like, what is the recommend? They said now 20% of your international stock, of your stock holdings, of all your stocks, you want to keep 20% in international stock funds, which I thought was interesting that we're starting, you know, this is a higher percentage than it has been in the past. So my advice to you would be, I would do it, but I would do it through mutual funds for that full diversity.
And that's stocks. He's talking about government bonds from another government that he considers safer, perhaps, than the United States government.
Right.
And I don't know if they pay any more on their bonds, the German government.
Well, there are people talking about yen. They're talking about, you know, German bonds. I think, again, through a mutual fund, you can get this through mutual funds, a diversified international portfolio.
And there we leave it, folks. I hope you know what to do with your money now, between now and next Tuesday, at very least. Maybe take a deep breath, first of all. With Beth Kobliner, author of Get a Financial Life, Personal Finance in Your 20s and 30s. She's a regular on The Takeaway. And guess what else she's going to do with us today? As you know, every Tuesday at noon, our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, holds an online chat. It's your chance to talk politics, ask questions, and connect with other WNYC listeners and It's a Free Country fans. Well, today at noon, we're talking, what else, debt ceiling. And among our guests will be Beth Kobliner. She'll be there to talk more about how the bickering over the debt ceiling could affect your wallet. So join us at noon today for Beth and others at itsafreecountry.org. Brian Lehrer in WNYC. Coming up next, we have the New Jersey Education Commissioner, Chris Cerf. At a tumultuous time for public education in New Jersey as well as elsewhere. And then we're going to try to figure out if Google Plus is actually better than Facebook. Stay with us.